This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. إن شاء الله تعالى, hopefully, إن شاء الله, those who attended yesterday, they did their homework for the question that we asked, and that was the relationship between taqwa and between the fasting of Ramadan. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, that fasting was prescribed for us as it was prescribed for the nations before, he said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And the objective mentioned of fasting was taqwa. And the main objective that we're going to gain from our fast. There's many things that we gain from fasting, alhamdulillah. But the main thing and the only thing mentioned in this verse was the issue of obtaining the taqwa. So what is the relationship? What is the connection between fasting Ramadan and between obtaining taqwa? This is what we left in yesterday's episode. And if you were to reflect on this, perhaps it will come to you right away. What you're doing during the day, you're fasting. Now, the brothers and sisters in the UK, they're fasting. We just broke our fast, but I'm not going to drink in front of you. But I have here a glass of water in front of me. Okay? If I were to drink that when I was fasting, who's going to know? I could go into my room right now and come out, everybody here in this majlis where I am today, everyone is fasting. And we're talking about fasting, how difficult it is. Like, everyone's like real thirsty. Like, yeah, yeah, man, you're right, it is. And I just had a big cup of water in the other room. Who's going to know that? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why am I not drinking that cup of water when I'm fasting? Why am I refraining when no one else knows? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And this is the reality of the taqwa, to have that consciousness of Allah in your life. And this is why it's so important to have the correct definition of what a taqwa is. A lot of times we translate the taqwa as the fear of Allah. And that ta'rif or that definition is not complete. It is, yes, it is part of taqwa, having the fear. But the reality of taqwa is the consciousness of Allah, that anything we do in our actions, it's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do it for Allah. The good that we do it for Allah. The things that we leave it for Allah. And that's why when you look at the issue of fasting, you see we leave doing certain things when we're fasting during the day. We refrain from these things all because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when it comes, you know, from the hadith, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught us about foul speech, about saying things that are haram, about saying things that are haram, that these, that we leave all of this during the month of Ramadan. And this is the reality of taqwa, how we need to be all of the time. So you see the relationship. And this is the tadabbur, what we want. Why did Allah mention the taqwa? That's the first thing we'll make tadabbur on. And after that, we're going to ask ourselves, what is the connection between the fast and between this? This is the tadabbur. Not just the understanding, because understanding is something. The tafsir is something. The tafsir is a miftah, yes. Helps us to get into the tadabbur. But like we said, we've given the example from the beginning of this series that even if you're an English speaker, you can still, alhamdulillah, understand and have some forms of tadabbur. If you come to this verse, you're going to be able to understand it. We'll give you several examples of this series. You're going to say, alhamdulillah. Because then what shaitan wants us to believe is that we can't make tadabbur. We can't reflect on the Quran if we don't understand the Arabic. Yes. You should take out the time to study tafsir. Yes, you should take out the time to learn Arabic. But if you don't have it, then you, with what you have, alhamdulillah, you can still do some understanding. It's important that you might go back to the tafsir, understand the ayah. So let's say if I stopped at the same question I had about this verse, verse 183 and Surah Al-Baqarah. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. This is the verse. It has been, the fasting has been prescribed for you, just as it was prescribed for the past nations, perhaps that you will obtain taqwa. Therefore, I might go back to Tafsir ibn Kathir we have in English. I might go back to the Tafsir of Ibn Sa'di, for example, and I read these two Tafsirs that we have them translated in English language. I understand the meaning, and now I want to sit and I make tadabbur. I want to reflect. When we have a gathering, maybe it's with our family, maybe we're having some tea with some brothers, a cup of coffee, and we sit down, we ask ourselves, why? Why is the taqwa mentioned? Why is it the main objective? What is the connection? This is how you make the tadabbur. And then we go into the next verse, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the verse after, 185. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very interesting, just so you know, that the fasting is only mentioned in these verses in the Quran. In this one section in the Quran, from verse 183 to 187. And there's something that comes in the middle in 186, which seems like it's not in its place. It came in the middle of it. Why? We're going to reflect on that in a minute, inshallah ta'ala. But these are the only verses in the Quran which talk about the siyam, about fasting. So if we look at verse 185, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in verse 185? He tells us, first of all, Shahr Ramadan, alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. The month of Ramadan that the Qur'an was sent down. This was the month that the Qur'an was revealed. And this shows us one of the reasons why the Muslims focus on the Qur'an so much in Ramadan. Why Ramadan is the month of the Qur'an. Why? Because this was the month that the Qur'an was revealed in. This is one of the reasons. Allah then described the Qur'an. Hudan linnas wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal-furqan. That it's a form of guidance for the people. And bayyinat, clear proofs, clear evidence from the huda, from the guidance and from the furqan. This is the definition of the Quran, that it's huda, that it's guidance. And it's furqan. It differentiates between the haq and the batil. Differentiates between that which is truth and that which is falsehood. And when I reflect on this also, I'm going to stop. The Quran is a source of guidance. This is why the Quran was revealed, as a source of guidance. The same message that Allah told us as soon as we open up the Quran on the second page after Surah Al-Fatiha, the first page of Surah Al-Baqarah, what did Allah say? Alif Lam Mim, Thalika Al-Kitabu La Rayba Fi, Hudan Lil-Muttaqeen. That this is the book that there's no doubt about it, a source of huda, a source of guidance for the muttaqeen. This is the book that we're reading. This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's huda, it's guidance for the muttaqeen. And then Allah mentioned some of the characteristics of the muttaqeen. So when I read something like this, I stop and I reflect and I contemplate, where am I from these characteristics? Do I have these characteristics in my life or not? It's huda for the muttaqeen. It's a source of guidance, a furqan. It differentiates between the haq, between truth, the truth, and between the batil, between falsehood. Where am I from following the haq? And where am I from following the batil, the falsehood? This is where I need to stop and to reflect. Something very beautiful, a very beautiful tadabbur. If we go to the end, or throughout verse 185, but I want to focus on the end. But in the middle as well, because something beautiful is mentioned, when Allah mentions the ruling of fasting when someone is traveling or someone is sick. When someone is sick or when someone is traveling. When Allah said, Man kana mariyadan aw ala safarin. Whoever is sick or he's traveling. Because if you travel or you're sick, it's going to be very difficult to fast. So what do? فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. So he makes it up from another set of it. Alhamdulillah, it wants ease for us. Fasting is easy, alhamdulillah. And that's to put into our mindset that it's not something that's difficult. If you can't do it during this time because of your current situation, you're traveling, you're sick, how do you make it up from other days? It's no problem, alhamdulillah. Allah has given you the permission to break your fast during this. And that's what Allah mentioned at the end of the verse. And it's very important because it is challenging when we fast, especially the first couple of days. We're having the coffee headaches and we're not used to eating and drinking. We can't drink. So we're challenged during these days. No doubt about that. But what does Allah tell us in this verse? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. That Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want difficult for you. He doesn't want difficulty for you. To make it clear. And then if you look at the end of the verse, what does Allah say? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And this is the ahdaf, the objectives from the ibadat, from the worship in Islam. If you look at a similar verse, when you go to the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah in verse 6, the ayah of wudu. It's a rather big ayah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or long ayah, when Allah mentions the different fara'id, the things that are made compulsory of the wudu, the four things that are mentioned in the ayah. What does Allah say at the end of the verse? مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَجْعَلْ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ. Allah doesn't want لِيَجْعَلْ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ, to put difficulty upon you. So what is the objective of this? That we have to make wudu every time we want to pray. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, it's cold, it's difficult. Like some places, like when we're traveling, you know, here in Turkey, you'll find that the place of wudu, it's outside. It's like, it's still like, and for us, it's a bit primitive, right? Where's the inside wudu? Where's the heated water? They're hardcore, the Turks, man. They're making wudu when it's cold outside. You know, it's like snow on the ground, and people are making still wudu like this. But, you know, if they can do it, then we can do it, we say. Bismillah, we have to go in there. And they're Hanafis on top of that. So they even wash their feet. They're not wiping on their socks like us. So it's challenging, right? So here you have these type of challenges that come. You wake up in the cold early morning, you know, and you have to go make wudu. What does Allah want to, what is the objective of this? Five times a day, I have to stop and have to make wudu. If I need to make wudu for the salat. Allah said, He doesn't want to put haraj, to put difficulty for you. وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرُكُمْ. But Allah wants to purify you. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, and to complete His favor upon you. So here, my tadabbur, now I'm going to stop and reflect. Allah wants to purify me. What does this mean? Is it just the purifying of my limbs when I make wudu so they're not dirty? Obviously, the places that we're making wudu from, our face, our hands, our arms, you know, wiping over our heads and coming back. This is obviously when you're outside, you're working, it's going to have ghubar and dust and things like this. So yes, you know, we're purifying our limbs. But is this really what's meant by the ayah? Or do we need to reflect a bit deeper and to see? What's meant by the ayah here is to purify what? Purify our hearts. This is the objective of these ibadat. To purify the hearts, the qulub, not necessarily the limbs. Yes, that's one of the wisdoms, yes. But it's not the main objective. The true objective of these ibadat, of these acts of worship, is to purify what's in our hearts. To purify what's in our hearts. We're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like now, we're doing this now, we're wiping away our sins, inshallah ta'ala, as it came in the hadith. We're purifying ourselves to be in a pure state when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah can purify our hearts through this salat, and through the Quran that we're reciting, and through the dua that we're making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the istighfar, through asking Allah to forgive us when we're in sujood, we're begging on Allah. All of this is having the impact on our hearts. And this is the tadabbur that we want to reach when we look into it. And something very interesting, at the end of this verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the ending is the same as the verse we just mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah 185. Who remembers what it was? What did I say what it was? What did Allah mention at the end of this? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That so you can be thankful, so that you can be grateful. Allah is giving us these ibadat for us to worship. He doesn't want to make difficulty for us, but He wants us to be from those يَشْكُرُونَ, those who are thankful, those who are grateful. And the same ending comes in the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah here, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And this is from the hikmas. You think, and subhanAllah, Allah is commanding us to do these types of ibadat, these types of worship, so we can have shukr. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That perhaps you will have gratitude. Perhaps you will be thankful. SubhanAllah. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His many blessings. When we attach ourselves to Allah through this ibadat, through our salat, through our fasting, it reminds us of the ni'am, the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, that Allah has blessed us with. And this attaches us more to Allah. And it makes us more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that He's blessed us with. Alhamdulillah. The greatest blessing is that He has guided us to Islam, that He has taken us from the dhulumat to the nur. He's taken us from the darkness to the light. Allah has given us the huda, He's given us the guidance, He given us the Quran, as it was mentioned in the verse, as we talked about, that it's bayyinat, that it's clear proofs from the huda and from the furqan, which differentiates between the haqq and the batil. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with the Quran. Say alhamdulillah for this blessed month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah for the blessed the blessings of fasting, the blessings of the prayer, the blessing of the Quran, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told us that if we hold firm to it, we'll never go astray after him. The book of Allah said, hold firm to it, you will never go astray. Allah told us to hold firm to the rope of Allah. This is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. And after that, in verse 186 comes the dua, the verse that it seems like it's not in the same place with the other ayat of the fasting, but there's a hikmah, there's a reason why it was put there, and that's the verse of dua. Why was that put there? What are some of the hikmahs that it teaches us? What are some of the things we gain from this? This is going to be our tadabbur in tomorrow's episode. Inshallah, we have another tadabbur, which is going to be very, very beautiful as well in tomorrow's episode as well, about true happiness and where true happiness comes from, inshallah ta'ala. That will be tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. So hope to see all of you then. Until then, Allah knows best. Allahu alam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad. Wa jazakum allahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.